Welcome to Vox Talks, a series of audio interviews with leading economists from around the world. My name is Ramesh Vaitalingam, and today's interview is with Sonia Orofice from the University of Alicante. Sonia and I met at the Royal Economic Society's annual conference at Royal Holloway, University of London, in April 2011, where she had presented a paper called Fatter Attraction, Anthropometric and Socioeconomic Matching on the Marriage Market. I began by asking her to explain what the paper was all about.
We wanted to analyze and think that people, when they match and marry, they consider several characteristics that the partner has. So, and in specifically, not only like socioeconomic characteristics, something related to money or income, but maybe also like physical attractiveness may matter. And in particular, we were interested also in seeing the trade-offs between the two. So if you are interested in both, so physical attractiveness matters when you look at the potential partner and also the income side, then can you trade off the two? So if you are not good at one, so I don't know if you are a little fatter, then can you still be considered a good partner if you have if you can compensate with a high socioeconomic characteristic or vice versa? So if we observe then in the real world, so with scientific data, that this is what is going on. The challenge, I mean, there is both like from the data point of view and like from a more economic theoretical framework, because here we are trying to deal so with matching with multiple characteristics. And in a sense, that's a challenge, and this is like one of the new frontiers of research in this area. So to try to handle multiple characteristics at the same time. And then data-wise, because here we have like a data set that is nationally representative of the U.S. population, so that's good. But the challenge is that it's not easy to find a data set where you have both like the physical dimension and the socioeconomic dimension. Because, for example, there is a research in biology or medicine that looks like this type of, for example, physical characteristics, how people match in a family, are they very similar or not? But the point is that usually then you don't have the socioeconomic dimension. If you have good data on the socioeconomic dimension, most of the time you're missing completely the physical part. So here at least, okay, it's not the perfect data set, but it was comforting to see that we have a data set that is nationally representative and that we can handle, we have both types of information for both spouses, because what was important, that what do we know for the husband, we also know for the wife.
So why don't you explain exactly how you're able to use this data to take the measures of, on the one hand, physical attractiveness, and on the other hand, socioeconomic attractiveness?
Yes, so what we do is, for physical attractiveness, we use BMI, which is considered a proxy, one of the dimensions of physical attractiveness.
That's but a measure in the of weight and
yeah,
height.
So it's basically a weight weighted by height. So you should take into account both features. And in the literature, so if you read like biology or medical literature, it is considered a very good proxy for female physical attractiveness. For male physical attractiveness, it's still okay. It would be better to also have muscular mass or waist to chest ratio, but still it's considered an okay proxy. And then for socioeconomic, there, since it's like in an economics data set, then in that sense we are fine because we have education, we have wages, so we have plenty of information. So first, we documented that there is positive sorting also in physical attractiveness. So fatter people marry fatter people. So a fatter woman marries a fatter man, like relative to the average population. So we can document it also using like a data set used in a socioeconomic analysis. And then we find this compensation going on between indeed, it seems like it is possible to trade off like a good or a bad physical characteristic with a good socioeconomic characteristic. And the interesting finding is that we find it also for men. So usually like the general view would be that physical attractiveness matters only for women. So when men look at a woman, they value physical attractiveness, but instead men do not need to be physically fit. They just need to care about the socioeconomic aspect. Instead, here we find that these trade-offs go on also for men. So it seems like that also when a woman looks at a man, she also values physical attractiveness, in the sense that if the man is, let's say, fat or much fatter than the average, then to be considered a good partner, he should have high socioeconomic status, meaning that physical attractiveness and BMI in the sense of a man matters. So it's not true that it's gender asymmetric.
So, and is the trade-off pretty much the same, do you think? You know, will a man compensate by having higher earnings for being fat the same way that a woman would?
We don't get to that stage, but it's true that because we use sometimes different measures for men and women in terms of the socioeconomic measure, but if we use the same, so for example using education for both as a measure of socioeconomic characteristic, I think we would still find that for women it's a little bit higher. But I think here the main message is in terms of the qualitative result, so that there is this trade-off, and we documented, and before it was not documented, and also that it's happening for both genders.
Are you able to look at it in a way and say there's a different trade-off depending on where you are in your marriage, if you like, how long you've been married, or if there are differences between generations?
A very good question. So our framework is a thought to consider like people who have just gotten married. So because we have a framework where basically we think of how the matches happen. So how people meet and decide to marry, and then what we would call it the equilibrium in the marriage market. So you're right. So the key point here is looking at people who are recently married. So because we want to see like at the start of the relationship, like of the serious relationship, marriage or like a cohabitation, what are the characteristics? Because you're right, I mean, over time then things could evolve. And that is another research question, to look at like the dynamics of how people vary their behavior or their characteristics over time throughout marriage.
This is U.S. data you're looking at. Do you think similar things would apply to European data?
No, definitely. So here we could also make a cross-country analysis or looking at other European countries. So what is good is that we set up like a theoretical framework with some predictions. So in terms of these trade-offs, and then this could be checked for any country. So with British data, actually there is the British Household Panel that has also information on BMI and socioeconomic characteristics, or other like household survey data, or also like European cross-country analysis.
Is there a kind of rule of thumb that you can draw from this, that you know, someone might actually think, well, you know, I could put on a few extra pounds as long as I earn a bit more to keep my ability to catch the man or woman that I want?
Now here, it's like a rule of thumb. So back on the level of calculations with our figures, we would find that for a man, an extra kilo, you should pay it with $4 per week of work week for working 40 hours a week, average weight height. So it's $4 per kilo.
And then could we apply that to the royal wedding that's coming up? You know, we say Prince William's estimated net worth is about 40 million. So how fat would that allow him to be and still get the girl?
No, it could be. So, there could be something going on in terms of trade-offs. Physical attractiveness, maybe it's not only BMI, it's also facial attractiveness or other dimensions. But, we could also expand it to think of, there is BMI, there is a face, there could be, I don't know, intelligence or something like that. So these trade-offs, money and then other dimensions that maybe sometimes are hard to measure. But I would say that, for example, for me, what was nice to work on this is that then sometimes you look at couples or what you see in life or what your mom tells you about, people... she knows, and then sometimes it matches. So what you find in terms of these trade-offs, that sometimes there is something that compensates for some features that you see. Sometimes something is more observable or less observable, but sometimes you can tell.
You're looking at marriage markets, as economists call them, but presumably people's relative attractiveness also has an impact on their labor market outcomes, how much they earn.
There is already a lot of research, and it's actually an interesting area, basically labor market discrimination, and especially looking at physical characteristics like obesity or other characteristics, not only physical, for example sexual orientation or other dimensions. So we call it marriage market, but I would say so what we are trying to do is basically analyze what's happening in the formation of families, because basically marriage market is how families form. So there is a man and a woman, and then, homosexual couples, but let's say traditionally a man and a woman who get together and form a family. And this, from a society point of view, is very important, because then it can increase or decrease the inequality that there is in the society, meaning that the characteristics of that man and that woman, when they get together, will determine basically not only their well-being throughout their life, but especially the children's outcome. There are already a lot of findings showing that parental background has a lot of relevance in how the child develops. So here what we are emphasizing is the fact that in the formation of families, when a man and a woman marry is not random, so there is a choice involved. We want to study how this choice goes on, and in particular study how the characteristics of the two partners correlate. Because the point is, of most of the time, the more they will be similar, for example, then it could be that then this has a strong effects on children. We also have like another project where we actually look at smoking. So if we consider a socioeconomic dimension and then the smoking status and to see how people match. So there it's more about health, but it's relevant because then we can think, I mean, there is evidence that shows that if your parents are smokers, you are more likely to be a smoker. But so here we want to go to the onset of things, so to the formation of family and document how related the characteristics are, because there could be like a reinforcing effect if only one of the two spouse has a characteristic, but then what if both have that characteristic and how strong? So these issues about BMI or like being fatter or not, or smoking or not smoking, then of course behind there can be like habits, health habits. So we believe that's important, because if we understand how formation of family happens, then this has longer-term implications for the couple per se, but most of all for future generations, because what we call the human capital formation happens mainly in the family. So we want to see how the family is formed and what are the characteristics. And over time, there can be variations, also how people match, and these can affect inequality in the society.
Well, I was going to say this, I mean, this must have some kind of policy implication, some material that policymakers can take from this when they're thinking about anti-obesity campaigns, or they're thinking about issues social mobility, or
no, exactly.
About
so here, basically, in terms of these health behaviors, we are adding one dimension that is also apart from like labor market discrimination or the others, that to also look that in the formation of family there will be a given pattern. So here, for example, we say that okay, everything has been equal, the fatter you are, it will be harder for you to find a well-fit partner. And this could mean that then it will be more challenging to have, for example, a very healthy child or something like that. Or if you marry a smoker and maybe you are a smoker, then you should worry about the health of your child. So that's in terms of formation of families. And that definitely has also concerns in terms of social mobility or inequality, because the characteristics of both partners do affect the characteristics of the children. And what is interesting, and this has been found in several disciplines, in medicine, in biology, in economics and sociology, that the matching, so how people marry, it's not random. So it's clear that there is a choice behind. So if we look at the data, and this we can, I mean, in any possible data set you would find that there is a clear pattern of similarity of characteristics between the men and the women who marry. So it's not like random. So it seems like there is something going on in terms of preferences or constraints people have in terms of who they meet. And so that's the part that we are analyzing in these projects.
You presented the paper here at the Royal Economic Society Conference.
Yes.
How did it go down? It seems the kind of subject where everyone will have a view because they think about their own relationships.
It was great indeed. So there was a lot of feedback from the audience. So I really enjoyed giving the presentation here. It was a very nice invited session. And you always get a good feedback.
And so, where are you going next? Where are you taking this research next?
So now we are looking at smoking. We have like some theoretical challenges because smoking is more, it's a discrete pattern. And then also the point is that there people may differ on how they assess. So if you are a smoker, you don't mind having a partner who smokes, maybe. But if you are not a smoker, then you would mind. But then, like, we are thinking maybe at also at other characteristics like race or other dimensions that could affect the formation of family. So, yeah, we hope we can go on these topics. And actually, it's fun also for what you say, because you can relate it to many things that happen in your everyday life.
Sonia Orefice, thank you very much.
Oh, thanks to you. Thank you.